praise God for this privilege. Coming in the house of God again. You know, when you think of people in like Russia who have to hide to worship, you realize how fortunate we are to have this privilege. Up to this moment, we are free to worship God in the way that we would like to. Of course, we understand that somebody is trying to do something about it. But they'll never be able to take away this freedom from us ever again. Because we are now worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And once you start worshiping God in your heart, then there's no one that can stop you from worshiping God in your heart. See, and this is a privilege that we need to hold on to. Let's turn our Bibles to John chapter 21. And this chapter is written after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We see Jesus appearing unto the brethren. And we read from verse 1. No, we wouldn't read from verse 1. Let's read from verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" He said unto him, "Yes, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He said unto him, "Feed my lambs." Jesus said again unto him, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" He said unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He said unto him, "Feed my sheep." And the third time Jesus said unto him, "Lovest thou me?" Peter was grieved. If I came and did that to you, you would want to know what's going on. Because he said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said unto him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." Jesus said unto him, "Feed my sheep." This morning we want to talk about the feeding of the sheep and the lambs. But to get into the background of what was said, the English here does not carry out what Jesus really said and what Peter really said. There are two words here that were used for love: the word philia and the word agape. Jesus Christ asked Peter, "Do you agape me?" And Peter said, "Yes, Lord, I philia you." In other words, he was asking him, "Do you love me with the love of God?" And Peter was saying that, "I love you as much as I can love you, just like my own brother. I love you like my own mother or like my own family." And Peter was going to his limit, and Jesus was trying to force him beyond the man's limit and said, "Do you agape me?" You see. And finally, Peter said, "God," the third time Jesus said, "All right, you philia me." And Peter said, "You know that I philia you." And he said, "Well, all right, you feed my sheep." You cannot feed God's people without God's love. Love for your family is not enough to give you the incentive to feed God's people, because feeding God's people takes suffering. Every mother knows what it takes to bring up a child. And when that child rebels against you, you don't throw him out because he is rebellious. But you do everything to throw the rebellion out of him. But then in the process of trying to get the rebellion out of him, you have to get the rebellion out of you. Because generally the rebellion that is in the child came from the parents. And so the child becomes the teacher of the adult, because you are here trying to get rebellion out of a child when you have rebellion in you. And you'll find that unless you can put down your own rebellion and begin to deal with the situation in the child, that you will be feeding the child with more rebellion rather than with deliverance from rebellion. You see, because rebellion is a spirit. It's a spirit. So we have hindering spirits that hinder our feeding one another. Now, the peculiar part about this whole chapter is that God told Peter to feed the flock of God. And God tells the ministry to feed the flock of God. But today God is calling to the flock of God to feed the flock of God. Amen. It has come to the place where the body is the feeder. See what I'm saying? You take the hand and you take up the food and you put it to the mouth. But the moment the food gets to the mouth and it begins to go down into the alimentary canal, and the body begins to work on it, it begins to send out the food to the different parts of the body. So it's the body that feeds the body. Although the food originally went through the mouth from the hand. But if the body doesn't strengthen the hand will never be able to lift the food to the mouth. There are people who somebody has to feed them because their hands can't put the food to their own mouths. And God has a special message this morning for our souls, that there is a responsibility. It's not a situation that you may do it if you want to, or you may not do it if you don't want to. But this is a command of God that he said, Peter, if you love me, if you have that agape love for God, if you even have that filial love that you love your own family, then you are going to be diligent about feeding the flock of God. That is, you know, many of us live beside a neighbor and we don't even know the neighbor. I am guilty of that a lot of times. You pass and you say, how to do, and nothing else. And that neighbor could die and go to hell, and you never stretched a finger because you're minding your own business. We are going to have to get out of that and begin to suffer. You knock at the neighbor's door and he slams the door in your face. You begin to suffer to take it to him. You back off? No. You find another way of getting to him. Because this is your job. This is your duty. This is the command of God. It's no longer you may do it or you may not do it. Said Peter, son of Jonas, agape to me, and ask your own heart, do I agape my brother, my sister? Do I agape the world? That's a rough situation, to agape the world, because they don't want it. They're kicking it back to you. Amen. But I remember in the days when we were out there in sin, if you saw a young lady that you want to talk to, you found a way to talk to her. Amen. Hallelujah. You found some way to talk to her. Amen. I know one man was out working with the devil, and he wanted to get to a certain girl, and he pitched off a step right before her, dropped down the bottom, rolled, tore his jacket to get the attention. He got it. Amen. Oh yes. I smile when you think of some of the tricks you played in the past. You play all kind of tricks. And you got there. You did what you wanted to do. Now God is saying, now in Christ Jesus, are you less of a Diligent. I'm glad for you that word, because I was going to say something else. Hallelujah. Are you less diligent about doing the things that God wants you to do? You know, when I got saved first, being kind of crazy, I rushed down the street, and this time now it was no play, no tricks, no going around. I just go right up to you. You're going to hell. Hallelujah. You know what I mean? And before the person could catch or compose, you talk. You begin to talk fast, because you want that soul. Oh yes, I'd look at a soul out there and see a person going on and say, Jesus Christ, I want that one for you. And I go inside and pray to God, and God would bring the person flying. Oh yes, I was standing at my window one day, just looking out at the rain, you know, and just meditating and praising God and looking out at the rain. I saw a girl coming down the street in the rain with the rain gutting through her head. She was just kind of, I knew her. She was the crazy of the town. She was, you know, gone metric upstairs. And she just came down, and I said, oh my God. I said, deliver her, Lord Jesus. I said, please deliver her now. I said, if you will deliver her, let her come through my door. Let her just come. She's gone down the street. She went beyond my vision. And I'm standing there waiting. Well, say, God, if you want to deliver her, you're going to bring her in here. Now, she must have jumped the fence, because she didn't come back up the street, and my fence went that way. And the next thing happened, she just burst right through the door and dripping stood right up staring at me. Man, you know. And I was glad, because I knew God had sent her. You see, now, but you have to have a care. You see what I mean? You have to have a care for those people. You have to have something in here saying, Lord Jesus, if you can just use me to save that one, let me have him. No. You go in the shopping center and you see the crazies all around. Because when a woman wears a bikini out in the shopping center, she's some way wacky. I mean, that's the way I look at it. She might think she's sexy, but I think she's wacky. You see? And the moment I see one like that, I say, oh my God, can you help that one? You know, you have a care for them. This is your department. This is your world. Amen. But we do not have that care for one another. If God gives you a revelation, brother, you can't keep it to yourself. You're going to have to tell the brethren. Amen. And if you're wrong, they're going to correct you. Amen. That's what God's doing amongst us. And so he said, Peter, you love me. Oh, you are going to lay down your lives to get the sheep and the lambs fed. See, because the feeding in three dimensions, Christ Jesus is operating in the church in three dimensions. And I am saying, brethren, that we no longer passively operate. We must actively operate. See, you got the three dimensions of operation. One box, one Christ, but three different dimensions. And in the natural, you have Christ within. And Christ within you tells you that Christ is in the other brother. So if the Christ within me is moving a certain way, the Christ in the other brother is moving too. So I'm not going to have any problem in convincing the other brother that it is Christ, for he's getting the same thing. Sometimes something comes to you, you have a little doubt, I wonder if this is God. But lo and behold, another brother comes right up and says the same thing. And that thing came to me. See what I mean? And so it is Christ within. And always recognize that Christ is within us. Now, it is Christ without. We must always recognize the presence of Christ everywhere. That Christ Jesus is everywhere, operating everywhere, all the time, wherever we are, whatever we're doing, whatever we're saying. Therefore, if we become Christ conscious, we will continuously feed. Even when the thing is negative, you will feed in a positive sense. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. You go in the street and you deal with people and you're dealing with negative forces. These things come against you, yet every time they jab at you, it brings a positive response. Christ Jesus is with you continuously. He said, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the time of the end of the age." Now, then you have Christ, put it in the body. It's for want of a better phrase. But when we come together, there's a quickening, hallelujah, that is there, which was not there before. It says, where two or three, help me with that phrase. What he said about two or three, where two or three are gathered together, I am there in the midst to bless. But he was there to bless you before. Come on, help me. Christ was with you when you were at your home alone. Christ was with you alone because that was the promise, and he was there for the reason to bless you and to do you good. But then he said that where two or three are gathered together, I'm there in the midst to bless and to do them good. Doesn't that mean that is a different, separate blessing and doing good? Meaning to say, brother, he's going to move in you in an operation that's going to bless the rest. That is, he's going to bring a message which he didn't bring when you were alone. Now, what good would a message do for you to get up and preach a message to yourself? See, so that is the function of the gifts of the Spirit, is functioning when you get together. Did you know that? But you didn't recognize it. Because when you got together and something came to your mind, you said it was my mind. And you didn't get that, and you didn't give it. The work that should be done is undone. And you leave unfruitful. You went home unfruitful. And those who you should have blessed went home unfruitful. In other words, God is saying, it is a command of God. It's Peter, you have no right to keep back the food from the brethren, from the lambs. They needed that food. Amen. Some of you sisters, and this is a direct word from the Lord that God spoke to me this morning, that some of you have the gift of teaching. And there are some things that the little kids should be getting that you're not giving them, because you are tight. You're not giving it out. But God said that the people who have the gift of teaching should give to the kids the things. You know, I saw some of you preparing, drawing little things like a lion and things like that, to teach lessons to the children Sunday morning. That's what I saw this morning in my vision. And God said, feed the lambs. See. And it's not just the lambs, the little ones. But there are some lamb adults. You see. In other words, they need the milk before they will get strong enough teeth and bones to take the meat. And we have been casting meat at them, and it has been turning them off, because they needed the milk first before we give them the meat. And this is a care, that the care that you are supposed to take one of another. If you know you're going to tell somebody something that's going to turn them off, don't tell them. Tell him something that's going to bless him, because you care for him. You see what we're saying? And this is what Jesus, he made a differentiation between Peter, the great apostle. He could preach all meat. God said, feed the lambs. So though you are a meat eater yourself, and you are getting all these great revelations to preach meat, consider the lambs. See, when I got excited with Jesus Christ, about all this great revelation and end time revelation, I went out and I just blasted the thing out and blew most people off their seats and just kill them. Just kill them. But God is saying that the local congregation must take the meat, must break it down. You know, you have the little babies, you can give them meat from they're born now, because they have them in little jars. They break it down. They break down the meat into a paste. And you use it to feed the kids. And the kids need mother's milk. See. So God is speaking to Peter, the great apostle. And he's saying, feed sheep, feed lamb. Amen. But don't forget that because of the love of God in you, you are going to look after the lambs as well as the big sheep. See, praise be to God. Now, I want you to turn to another scripture here where God speak to the church itself. The Acts 20. Somebody read that for me. Acts 20:28. As you get it, read it for me, please.
Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood.
Yes, praise God. Can you imagine Paul about to leave, about to depart, and he said that grievous wolves would come into the flock, tearing the flock. But somehow a flock that is well fed will not be caught by a wolf. A flock that is well fed will not be caught by a wolf. If you notice the balance of nature is so ordained that when a lion comes to a flock to catch the flock, he generally go after the weakest ones. Therefore, he will catch a weak little lamb, or he will catch an old weak one that's staggering at the back of the flock. And so the prime of the flock is always saved because they have the strength to run and to get away. So this same principle works in the spiritual realm. That anybody comes in here with a false teaching, he tries to get onto the women. I'm not saying the women are weaker, but sometimes women get excited over things like that, and spirits catch them. I saw a man come into a congregation of ours, and he preached from Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday he dropped out a little bit of his reconciliation doctrine. But all the while, during the daytime, he was visiting with the women. See, visiting and getting them to believe in the love of God, the goodness of God. Oh, God is so good that he wouldn't be able to put you into hell. Things like that. And he poisoned them to such a degree that eventually he broke the congregation right in two. But if those people were founded, well grounded and founded, they could not be taken. You understand? They could not be taken. Because first of all, you are going to have to know God. When you get to know God, you know what God would do from what God wouldn't do. See what I mean? It is the same God of love that poured fire down on Sodom and Gomorrah. You see? And God is not slack concerning his promises, or slack concerning order, or slack to allow sin to destroy a congregation. Amen. When he could cut it short and deliver. So praise be to God. He said, feed the flock of God, which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. So there are in our midst some that have the oversight of the flock. Where are they? Where are they? They're right in our midst, sitting down right before me. But they're afraid to come forward and do what God has put in their hearts to do. You see, because of Babylon, because out there, I am the pastor, I am the bishop, I am the elder, I am the this and I am the that. And because of that, we are afraid to do what God has put in our hearts to do. But God is going to make you guilty. He's going to hold you responsible for what you didn't do. For what God is doing, he's not putting you into an office to exalt you, but he's putting something in your heart for you to do. And whether you do it or do it not, you're responsible for it. It's a command. Feed the flock of God. You said, I don't know my calling. I don't know what God has called me for. You think God is going to come to you and tell you, oh boy, you are the king around here. You are so and so, you are so and so. I am a teacher and I am a... No, sir. What God's doing, he's putting teaching into your heart. And what God's doing, he's putting the desire to weep over the flock into your heart. And when some people are distressed at the condition of what's going on here, it's God that put it into your heart. And if you go to God with your distress, God will use you to help the situation. And when you start obeying God and start helping the situation, you know for sure God is establishing you in that ministry of helping the situation. Until one day you find out who you are. But God isn't going to tell you unless you have already discovered who you are. Well, some people, God tell them, and I don't know why. You know, when God told me, I didn't believe it. I just couldn't believe it. I am so wretched, I couldn't believe it. And I didn't believe it. But I just said, all right, God. You know, I just felt that God was just kind of buttering me up to get me going. So I said, okay, God, I'll move. I'll do what you want me to do. But I wouldn't believe it. In other words, it wasn't going to puff me up. For I don't think much of me. And I can tell you that point blank. I don't think much of me. I could never believe that I'm a special person or anything like that about me. Because I know me. Hallelujah. And I know that it's just the mercy of God. Why I survive. Because of the situation of my own humanness. I hate being human. You know that? You ever hated being human? Oh, you better believe it. I mean, you're human and some human thoughts come through you and so on and so on. So you're ashamed of them. Amen? So you're still human. You want to be like Jesus Christ. And you wonder, why can't I be like Jesus Christ tomorrow morning? Or even this evening for sure. But, you know, you're still human. And therefore, you don't like being human. And because you don't like being human, you kind of understand other human beings. Oh, yes. When a man comes against you and hit you and try to hurt you and so on, you need to understand him. that he is only being human and only submitting to the same devil that you could have submitted to had God not had the mercy on you. So even the man who is against you, you can understand him. See what I mean? Now, God said, feed the flock. And to feed the flock, brother, you're going to have to lose a lot of you. Because let me tell you, the flock's not going to just sit down and open their mouth for you to feed them. They will resist you. Oh, yes. They will resist you. They'll fight you. They'll bite you. Yes. And you are going to have to learn how to forget you, because you have an axe to grind. And that axe is to do the will of God, to feed the flock. So he says that the overseer, the Holy Ghost, hear that? The Holy Ghost has made you overseers. And I'm going to ask you the question, who are the overseers of this congregation, and leave it with you for you to consider, my God. Is it that God has been making me one of the people with eyes to see over the flock, and I've been fooling around? Amen. Amen. Because, you know, as I was saying to Brother Jack yesterday, it is not the apostle or the great prophet that comes in here and lay hands on you and say, you're an elder, you're so-and-so, you're so-and-so, thus saith the Lord God. The only thing that this prophet could do, if Brother Campbell should come here tomorrow morning and come and lay hands on one of you and say, you're an elder or whatever it is, he would only be confirming that which God had already told you. And not only you, but the congregation. Because if a man is an elder in this congregation, the congregation well knows that there is a quality in that man that is coming to take care of God's business in their midst. And we don't have dead parts, because everybody has a job to do in the congregation. And if somebody feeds you, you better believe it that you have to feed somebody. Don't let anyone deceive you. Once you are fed, you are responsible to feeding someone else. Amen. And so God has an eldership here, those who he has ordained to oversight the flock. And I will ask you to pray to God and to see to God, see from God what you are to do, and do it. Oh yes, do it. And when you are wrong, and the congregation is going to tell you you're wrong, they're going to feel it that you are wrong. When you are wrong, you must quickly correct. Amen. You see, when Mavis sits in the congregation and I give the word, every time I make a slip, because sometimes you slip in your human thinking slip and you say the wrong thing, she feels it, because once you're in the spirit, following the spiritual flow, and somebody make a break, you feel it right here. You see, that's when you're matured, these things do happen. You know exactly what the minister is saying. This is why I couldn't go to the churches on Sunday morning. I make that mistake so often, and it's so painful to go to a church and to see them playing around. You know, because it's all psychology, it's all humanness. The message comes forth, and it is a properly, homiletically, psychological message put together of Saturday night. You see what I mean? And it blesses those who, you know, don't have the discernment of the Spirit. But the person with the discernment of the Spirit is turned off and hurt, because it was human you were listening to and not God. They were talking the words of God, of course. But let me tell you something. That's not feeding the flock. You know why? You can take the word of God, and you say you are going to feed the flock with the word of God. And you put the word of God in such a way that it's saying something else than what Jesus Christ wanted to say to that congregation at that specific time. Maybe that word could have been preached at another time when God wanted to say something else to that same congregation. So therefore, it is only the mind of Christ that we can feed from. Do you understand me? The right food can only come from the mind of Christ. It's like you have a taste for a certain food. You feel like you'd eat fish, you know, today. And you get fish and you feel satisfied. But tomorrow you didn't want fish. You want some steak or something like that. Next day you feel for chicken. And it is so that God ordained your body that your body calls for the thing that it needs. When you feel thirsty, what do you think is happening? Your body is crying out. Your blood wants some liquid, some water. See what I'm saying? And this sort of thing functions in the body of Christ. So it is only the Holy Ghost that can really tell the body what message it needs right now or tomorrow or so and so. This is why I do not believe in fixing that message from last night. Well, one brother said to me, well, if God can tell you when you come into the congregation what message to preach, can't he tell you from last night? Amen. Sure he can. And some people do get it that way. But I tell you, what happens to me, he gives me a message last night, and I add on so much to it. You see, I add on so much to it that the specific bent that the Spirit wants, I miss it because I had too many scriptures in my mind pertaining to that message. You see? In other words, you study your Bible for 30 years. And you know every scripture in the Bible. And God says one word to you and 20 scriptures flash right away to you. You might attempt to use those 20 scriptures, whereas it's only one you wanted. For if you use the 20, it will twist the message. In other words, every message has a specific point of pressure. You understand? And you might either make it just so broad and so wide that nobody gets the right thing, or you might twist the point of pressure to another place. As far as I am concerned, I want the fresh bread flowing from heaven, the Holy Ghost giving me the directing, because this is the covenant that I have with the Lord. I have an agreement with God that I wouldn't study a message to tell his people. See what I mean? So, I cannot, you know, 100% criticize the other brothers who have to do the other thing. But what I know is that my specific ministry cannot do that. Because the word I give you must be a prophetic word. That it must come directly from God through me to you at the specific time. See? And so, feed the flock. And there's a possibility of feeding the flock and you not being fed. You can be a feeder and not an eater. You just take food and give it, and take food and give it. Yes, I never forgot the night when God told me, appropriate it before you export it. I thought he was giving me a message to give you. He was giving me a message for me. I'm burning with fever, and Jesus came to me and speak to me. And you know, it's always exciting when the Lord comes and speaks to you. And I jumped for my pencil. I was going to write down what he was saying so that I don't forget it next morning to preach it at service. And he said, no. Put that pencil aside. You appropriate it. And I begin to repeat what he said. And repeat what he said until it sank into my heart. And taps, the fever and the cold that was in my throat, everything went immediately. And I got up completely well next morning. And it was a lesson that he was giving me. Hallelujah. But I was going to export it before I used it. You see, it's for you, it's not for me. See, so God is saying that those who are given the oversight of the flock, which God has purchased with his own blood, that you must feed them. Now, let's take a few more scriptures here. This one was in Acts. I want you to take the one in Peter. 1 Peter 5. And read from the first verse. Somebody get it for me.
1 Peter 5:1.
Yes.
The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed.
Yes, 2.
Okay. Feed the flock
3.
Of God which is among you. Take the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, either as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock.
So you feed the flock by example. There is no way that a brother should come in the congregation and beginning to preach and tell the brethren how to behave at home with their wives when he is not behaving at home with his wife. And this is the kind of thing that goes on all the while. Here is a man, a counselor, a divorce counselor, and in the midst of his counseling, he got divorced. You see what I mean? He was counseling, yet he had not counseled himself. Amen. We are going to realize that preaching the word of God is not jumping up and giving a message like I am doing now. But preaching the word of God is the example. And I tell you, the example goes further than words or actions. I know that we've been married for over 30 years and we have never had a quarrel. We have never had a quarrel. We have had disagreements wherein I said this is black and she said it is white. And immediately, I want to find why she should say it is white when it's black. See? And she is proving to me that it is white. And we said, okay, let us see whether it is white or black. We'll find out soon. And we agree to go either white or black. And needless to say that most of the times I'm on the losing side. Oh yeah. So I learned to lose. You see, the image that a man goes into his home with generally is that he's always right. That he's always right. And sometimes you are ashamed that you're wrong, but it shouldn't be a shame. Here you ask God for a helpmeet, and here you have another brain just as active as yours, another spirit just as active as yours, another soul connected with God. And this is where your strength lies. But if you dare to overpower this woman, this child of God, this son of God, in your house, so that you are always on top, you have destroyed your sanctuary. That's what God said about Satan. He said, you have destroyed your sanctuary. In other words, God gave you a woman, God gave the woman a man, in order that between both of them, no devil in hell, no nothing, can proceed and conquer. Amen. Because you see, the two of you are a whole man. One of you is only a piece of a man. And let me tell you, I thought I had great discernment. Oh man, I could see through a 9-inch wall. But I found out that I was absolutely blind in some places. And when I asked God, but I can't understand, how can I see in this realm so much? Like in the realm of the word, I will see beyond in the word, beyond most almost any man that I know. To see the word, the moment God shows me, I can see way out there. I can see other things. I have discernment of spirits. I'm sleeping here, and a spirit come through the door. I see him. I know exactly what he is, what he's in here for, everything like that. Yet, I discovered that I was absolutely blind in some sections, and I asked God about it. And God said, that's the way God made you. He said, can you see in the back of your head? Huh? You haven't got a good idea of what your head back looks like, man. Yet your wife has to put up with it every day. She sees the back of your head all the while, and she knows it intimately. The moment you discover that you are weak in certain areas, you will give way. You will go to the wife and say, what do you think about this? Amen. Well, how do you feel? There's another thing too that men lose out with spiritual feelings. Did you know that the 5 senses you have, smelling, hearing, seeing, feeling, tasting, are 5 spiritual senses? God would never have made you with not anything natural that wasn't spiritual. The natural senses are only teaching you that there are 5 spiritual senses. And you might be very good at seeing, but kind of deaf in the ears. And when anything you see or feel, you check it out with your wife. And these women, now women, this is not for you, they're talking to the men. These women, brothers, they got a feeling sense that sometimes is very senseless. Yes, it has. You ask her, you said, I don't feel right about that. You said, why don't you feel right about it? Isn't it the word of God? It doesn't it look right? It's so and so, everything is right. But I just don't feel right. She can't explain why she don't feel right. It has no sense, it has no reason. Don't step over it, brothers. Don't step over that little funny feeling. There is a thing called, brothers used to say, I have a check. If you're going to move this chair and you don't feel 100% right about it, don't touch it. It is a something that the Holy Ghost is putting into you so that you might not move out of the Spirit. And if you don't pay attention to it, you always get burnt. See? And so we're talking about feeding the flock of God, neither being, but being examples unto the flock. You feed them by example. And let me tell you something. People are hardly hearing what you say. They hear what you do. Oh yes. They're hardly hearing what you say. You believe me that this that I speak here is only 20% of it is going to stay with you, unless the Holy Ghost brings back something to you. But you are addicted to doing what you see me do. Now, the point I was bringing is that Mavis and I will walk into a place and will say nothing at all. We go in, we'll say good night, we go to bed, and the people will be blessed and delivered. Oh, yes. We went into a house, and it was late night. We went to bed, we slept, we got up, we came out next morning. And by the next morning, the telephone rang, and the brother was told what a horrible set of people we are. And he said, no, it's not true. He said, because these people came into my house and I had problems in my house. And he said, the problems left, and since that day, we have been delivered. Oh, yes. Why? Because there's a spirit that goes with you, brother. And if you just finished quarreling at home and beating your wife, hallelujah, and you went down there to go and preach, that whole thing is going to let loose in that congregation without your knowing. The Spirit is going to take charge of them. See what I'm saying? So, I'm saying now, brethren, we preach, we feed the flock by example. And example is the greatest method of feeding the flock. And there's no way you can deceive the flock. The flock tastes that food and it's bitter. And they don't know why it's bitter. You don't know why it's bitter. The words were right. Everything was quite in order. But the flock tasted a little bitterish taste. And God is saying that as we begin to be careful one with another, to feed one another in the Spirit, that we're going to find that the very person you just finished feeding turn around and be a strength to you and feed you back. Look at your body. Every joint feeds the other joint. The blood got to flow through this joint to get to this one. It's got to flow through these in order that I could lift something. See? And God is saying, look at your own body and realize what the body of Christ is. And if there is no love in the body, then there the blood is stopped. The food cannot proceed. And brethren, this is the time when the devil is breaking up homes. I've never seen so many Christian homes being bombarded and broken. And it's being broken up for nothing at all. You know what I mean? Somebody might say, well, you know, we had a big problem. So and so was a problem. But very often it's little nothing. You move the chair and the brother didn't want the chair moved. And he talks about it and it brings this and it piles up. And the devil pile up a long thing against you. One night, May and I lie down in bed and the devil jumped right in between us. And she got right up and rebuked that thing. Oh yes. Rebuke that thing and say, get out of here, we don't want you. Because everybody must be tested. You don't believe there's one man or woman here that's not going to go through that test. You're going to have to go through the test and you're going to have to pass the test. And I believe that the association between brother and sister is the nearest thing to Jesus Christ and His church. And anytime you overcome there, brother, you're going to win. Anytime you overcome there, anytime you overcome that feeling of animosity against your partner, you are able to rise up and win. I'm not going to have any feeling against him. I'm not going to have any feeling against her. You see, because sometimes, you know, men involved out there in the world doing their business, sometimes they forget their wives. To be honest with you, just working so hard that you forget your wife. Or you think, oh, she's put up aside there. You know, when I'm ready, I'm going to just turn on to her. But for now, I'm turned off. I'm doing this and that and the other. Oh, yes. I'm working outside and sometime I rush right, come in. I feel that I've been out there so long and not, my mind is cut off from my wife. And I don't know what she's doing in there. Maybe the devil is in there tempting her in some way. I rush right in, hug her and kiss her and say, I'm going back to work. Oh, yes. You see. And over the years you learn how to beat the devil. Oh, yes. And if a wrong thought comes to you, brother, it comes to your wife too. Don't believe it's going to come to you and not to your wife. I remember one time I had a congregation and I could know exactly what the devil was saying because he would come to me with it first. And when I go to church and I preach the message on what the devil is saying, the brethren will shout, "But how did you know? That's what happened to me." Oh, you better believe it. That the same thing that happens to the shepherd happened to the sheep. So the feeding the flock of God and the oversight of them is not necessarily always preaching. Somebody believes to feed the flock, I've got to get up and preach. But there's somebody out there that needs a little love. Oh yes, you look around the congregation and you see somebody who needs a little love. Don't go away unless you go and give that person that love. Let them know how you appreciate them. You know, sometimes you ask them to forgive you of anything that might have come between. Because do you know what I found out? That there are some things between me and people that I don't know anything about. Somebody just go and said so and so, or he did so and so, and you know, never did it, you never said it. You might have said something that had no relationship to that, but somebody interpreted it wrong, took it away, and somebody will hold you forever. It puts a block. He can't get the food that God has sent for him. He begins to wilt and die just because of a lie that Satan told against. So let the flow of God be among you. And let me tell you, you love God as much as you love the person who you love least. Did you get that one? It's not the one who you love most that's the basis of your love for God. The love for God is for the love for the unlovely. Those who are not pretty, those who behave bad. And when you love them, and every mother knows what it is to love a boy who is kicking up his heels and doing all the wrong things in the world. Amen. Oh yes, every mother knows what it is. Sometimes I go down there, I can't hug the boy because I feel so bad against him for what he's doing. He goes and he hugs his mother and see them kissing. You know. Wretched. But that's what he needs. That's what he needs. And so the Spirit of God this morning is speaking to us about feeding the flock by example, feeding the flock by our own lives, feeding the flock of God. If you take, I see another scripture here that I'm going to give you this scripture. It's in 1 Kings. Somebody find that for me. 1 Kings 17 and verse 4, where God caused Elijah to be fed by ravens. God caused Elijah to be fed by ravens. Now, why did he do it? Why couldn't God get some beautiful beautiful, clean, nice doves or something to carry some meat to give Elijah? But how would you like to get meat from a crow? Yuck, eh? You know, this is God. And you see, but this Bible is perfect. Why would God do a thing like that? Read it for me. 17:4.
Shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord.
Yeah.
And dealt by the brook Cherith, that is east of Jordan. And the raven brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening. And he drank from the brook. And after a while the brook dried up, because there was no rain.
Yeah. Well, all right. Here you are, the prophet of God, in the wilderness. And God sent a flock of ravens down into a man's bakery. You just get your hot bread, take it out, and whoo, raven come down and pick up your bread off the garden. Hallelujah. And you're over there telling the butcher of this peculiar thing that happened, that ravens come and pick up your bread, and lo and behold, zoop, the ravens dived down on the butcher and took up some meat and took off. And they did that in the morning and in the evening. And you ask yourself the question, why is raven mentioned in the Bible, an unclean bird mentioned as feeding the prophet? Okay, you check Leviticus chapter 11. Leviticus 11. You want to find what the ravens mean. What's the meaning of ravens in Scripture? So you take Leviticus chapter 11, and this is where God speaks of the ravens as ministries that are unclean. They use dead things. They eat dead meat. Vultures, you see. They eat dead meat. And you see, there are some people, some ministries out there that thrive upon those who are not alive in Christ. In verse 14 there, it says vultures, and verse 15, speaking of the unclean birds, it says every raven after his kind. Now, if you read the pattern, I don't remember on what page it is, but it speaks, it explains the whole Leviticus 11, and it explains the different birds as different ministries, and you have the predator ministries and that prey upon the people, and you have the scavenger ministries, and the scavenger is the vulture, the raven. Now, God is saying that because some of us are not feeding the flock, he allows ravens to feed them. You can get good food from some of these ministries that are just working for the money and for whatever else. And Paul said, though some preach for strife or vain glory, he said, praise God, the word of God is being preached. See what I'm saying? So there are some that do that. And I say that God allow his children to be fed. So you mustn't say despise all the food that comes from elsewhere. Oh, I'm only going to eat at brother Dusil's table. Or I'm going to eat only at this one's table. Because there is some good food coming from somewhere else. God is overthrowing the very purpose of the raven by allowing them to feed his flock. See? Now, God said that he is going to one day the shepherds that feed themselves and will not feed his flock, he's going to put them aside, and he's going to raise up shepherds that feed his flocks. One day I said to the Lord, Lord, I don't understand why you allow these ministries here to be taking the bulk of the people and have them, you know, just feeding them on little things to keep them interested. Sweets, actually, like you have children and you feed them on sweets, you see, to keep them coming back for more. And they get that sweet tooth so that they will not even eat anything else. All they want is sweets. And I said, God, how you allow this? And you know what he asked me? He said, would you have me to stop them from doing what they are doing? And the question was the answer. I said, oh no, God. He cannot stop them from doing it. Because if he does, who would feed them? You going to do it? Huh? You going to go get the millions and feed them? And if you do it, brother, you'd be exactly doing exactly what those brothers are doing. Because the people wouldn't want anything else but what they are getting. You'd have to give them what they are getting to keep them alive. So praise be to God. I'm going to close here. That God is saying that his flock is wandering up on the mountain. like sheep without a shepherd, yet there's a body of Christ in our midst. And I'm saying to you, body of Christ, for Christ's sake, come alive and begin to realize your responsibility in a world that needs you badly. See what I mean? We have lost the spirit of evangelizing. You ever feel like an angel of God at your workplace or dealing with people out on the street? This is what God is saying. Evangel is angel. You see, you are sent of God. As a body of Christ, you are sent of God in the world to do a job. Are you doing it? You have to start doing it in your midst, then you start doing it outside there. And we take as a closing verse, Ephesians chapter 4, and we go back to that very, very hackneyed verse, which has been so used in my Bible that the leaf comes out, you know, the whole of Ephesians is so much used. It's, hallelujah. But you know, it's very appropriate to drop this in here, that it says here, and he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. That is, the work of the ministry is not going to be done by the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, teachers, but it is the saints that are going to do the work of the ministry. It is the church that must function. You are a living body. You must walk and talk and function in the world and bring forth fruit. And you need to bring forth fruit after your own kind. Some of us, when we get saved, we have no more friends among sinners. Isn't that right? Oh, we're just all saved. We don't have any more friends among sinners. Don't you go out there and see a gal and your spirit takes her and you just be friendly with her just like you used to be. That's an outreach. Once there's a human being that you have a rapport with, it means that that human being has a rapport with you. And that you are ordained of God to pull that person to God. You see, we're not in the stage where they are pulling us into the devil anymore. Amen. We must love them. We must friend them. We must go to their tea parties. Oh yes, have a little party at your home and call them in. Have a party. I don't believe in birthdays, but find a birthday. If you even have to make one, find a birthday and invite them over to a birthday party. And you just, you know, serve them ice cream and cake. Get the kids together. Get the kids together. Do you realize that we're not doing the work we could be doing around among the kids in this area? You know what we could be doing? We could have the brethren picking up kids all over. Sometimes parents are too happy to get rid of their kids for a couple hours. We put up a babysitting operation. And we said, every Friday evening, parents, all around town, we're going to take your kids. And you give them a whopping good time. Give them a little ice cream. But give them Jesus, a lesson with Jesus. And this place would be full with kids. Or wherever you have, would be full with kids. Your home, your backyard. You see, you have swings and whatever else. And while some swinging, you're teaching the others. I know a brother went as far as built a swimming pool and have lifeguards, and he had a bus. He got one of the old city buses, fix it up and begin to pick up kids all on the bus route all over and bring them in. And when he brought in one load of kids, he don't give them the fun first. He give them the songs and the Sunday school and play music and they sing and so on. So, and when they are through, he put them in the pool and some on the swings in his backyard. And they have a good time. Mothers are happy. Get rid of them for 3 hours. And he's gone for another group. And by the time he comes in with that group, this group is ready to go home. and home they go. What's wrong with us? What's wrong with us? Don't you see that the time is late? We need to get a hold of the people. Let God work in your midst. Volunteer. Get some of the people out there, those who don't belong to us, to volunteer to come help. Next thing happens, they get saved too. You see what I mean? We need an outreach for God, because it said, feed the flock of God over which the Holy Ghost had made you overseer. Do you realize that the local church should take hold of the whole community? Oh yes. The time is coming when we're going to feed them. We have to take care of them. There are old people who need somebody to take them to the market, to the store, to pray with them a little, just to talk with them. We should have brethren volunteering. Hallelujah. To go this evening after work to go pick up the old people, take them to the... Some people don't have... They can't drive. They can't do anything. And this service is part of your ministry in the old area. God is saying that we must stop sleeping. We must wake up and begin to do what God wants us to do. Praise God. Because it is the body that ministers. And the more alive the body gets, the more ministry you will do. God bless you. And God help us really to hear Him. To hear His voice. And, you know, it's not all the while that I get a message to bring to you. Some of the time when I come here, He just speaks and it flows. But this one, I got it. See, He came to me this morning. He showed me the scriptures. He tells me what the need is here. See, and I believe, brethren, that some of the reasons why we have dissension and problems one with another and can't get on is because we are not doing what the Lord wants us to do. Amen. But God, I think God wants us to get together, really, and to begin to do. And you see, God will tell each person what He wants him to do. And when a brother comes to you and said, well, you know, I think God is saying so and so to me, will you be with me? Sure, I'll help you. Okay, he's doing something out here, and all of us go along with him. But this thing about the children and the feeding of the lambs, I'm going to beg you to get together and plan it out and say, what shall we do? And if we're going to have to take them up into 3-4 cars in the evenings, do that until God gives you a bus. Amen. Because this brother, after he had one bus, he had to go and buy another bus. And he has, last time I saw him, he had 2 big city buses. And he had 2 more drivers with him. Volunteers. See, volunteers. And then people begin to volunteer to give them money to buy fuel. And so after all, it didn't cost them anything except their time and the joy that they have to see the children grow up in the Lord. See, praise be to God. God bless you. Amen.
Lord.
Glory
to God.
Oh, we bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer unto you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. We offer unto you.
not thyself because of evildoers. Neither do thou envious, be thou envious because against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. In other words, so shalt thou possess the land. So shalt thou possess the land. You dwell and you are fed means that you possess the land. So shalt thou possess the land. Delight thyself also in the Lord, making your delight, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. All the desires of your heart shall be brought to pass as ye trust the Lord. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. There again we have possessing the land. It's the same as inheriting the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his play, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth. You remember that scripture? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. And I think we could say, his day has come. His day has come. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cut down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bow shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of land. They shall consume, into the smoke shall they consume away. And you could go on and on. But there is something here that the Lord brought so strongly to me this morning, that for so long it would seem as if the wicked or the unrighteous is having power and going from victory to victory. But the Lord said that the time has come that His people, the people who trust in Him, shall have power over all that is evil and wicked. And by trusting in the Lord, we possess the land or inherit the earth. The first land that we have to possess is this one. We must rise up and take authority over the ice that abide here. It may not be called Canaanites or Hittites or Perizzites or Jebusites or Hivites or whatever the ice may be, the Amorites or whatever ice, but it might be called Lusites or Angerites or whatever ice. But the ice that are in here, fear, I think that is one thing that binds a lot of us. Fear. But God is greater than fear. Yeah. The grace of God can put away every fear from our heart. Anger, jealousy, malice, strife, and even speaking evil. Sometimes evil come to our heart about others.